All right, continuing to hit the expert hotline here, Jill, on the podcast, and it's now time to take a look at Ivy League basketball coming up this weekend. A lot of teams playing their first matchup in Ancient Eight play, and we go to the expert hotline, as we mentioned, and joining us on the line, columnist for the Ivy Hoops Online, which our podcast airs on, of course, Rob Brown joining us. Rob, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, thanks. How about the two of you?
Doing just fine. It's a balmy 40 degrees here in Hanover, New Hampshire, so I am wearing shorts right now. Sorry to give you that image, but I had to mention that.
No, that's quite all right. Thanks.
Okay. Well, Rob, coming into this weekend, lots of Ivy action to be had. One of the games that Jill and I targeted coming into this weekend was Brown at Yale Friday night. We talked to Mike Martin on this episode of the podcast here, talking about this game coming into New Haven. And I think this is going to be one of the sneaky good games this weekend between the Bears and the Bulldogs. What say you?
Have to agree. You know, it's Yale is certainly depleted. I guess looking at the game notes, doesn't look like Mekhi Mason is on the list, so he won't be there. So Yale suffered a lot of injuries this year, and Brown had a better non-conference result than they expected. So I think they're coming in with a good deal of confidence. And you know, at the beginning of the conference play, it's really up for grabs, and that's a fantastic moment.
What do you think is going to be one of the keys for the Brown Bears to be successful?
If
you
can
only pick one, there might be.
Yeah,
definitely probably a handful. But
I guess if there are two things I would think is they have to be more efficient from 3-point. They're doing a nice job. They're getting a lot of threes, but they're not as efficient as they were last year. So I think if they can get a little bit more variety right now, I think they just have three guys that take about 78% of their 3-pointers. So if they can spread the wealth a little bit, that'd be great. And if they can do a little bit more efficiency on that end, that would be great. And defensively, I think if they can stop the two-pointers, which, you know, is Yale's forte, so I think that's a really tall order for them.
Yeah, especially having seen Yale in the past and last year. I mean, boy, that's a team that can get up and down the floor very quickly as well. Transition defense for Brown's going to be big in this one on Friday evening. Staying on Brown here, Robin, and just looking at, obviously, the non-conference schedule, 7-6. Mike Martin saying that they felt like they had a couple of wins they left out there, but they played a tough non-conference schedule. Is this a team you think that could be a serious serious challenger to getting to Philly for the tournament?
It's really hard to say. I think a lot of things have to break right. They are one of the youngest teams in the conference.
Right.
They had three graduations, Stephen Spieth, Trayvon Blackman, and J.R. Hobby, three all-time greats for Brown. And then there were a number of players who left the program for assorted reasons. So there was tremendous turnover this year. That's a tall order. And the team, you know, was kind of starting out in a pretty low place in terms of their record over the last few years. So I think that's a lot to ask for a lot of young players. But they seem to be playing well. They seem to be playing together as a nice cohesive unit. So I kind of view this year as the stepping stone for the future. So the upper division in the Ivy tournament, that would be fantastic. But realistically, if they can get some nice wins and build for next year, I think that's a really nice sign for Mike Martin and the program.
Rob, shifting to the other teams in the Ivy League, can you tell us your thoughts on the Penn-Princeton matchup? And, you know, are you surprised that the Quakers were able to come away with the win?
Starting with the men's side.
I'm
thrilled as a former Penn guy. You know, I'm very thankful. After about 1,500 days, they finally beat Princeton.
Who's counting?
Yeah, no, not at all. I think Courtney Bangard, after the women's game, said, "Oh, it was over 1,000 days." So I guess a lot of us have been counting. I think Penn maybe didn't play as challenging a non-conference schedule as Princeton, but it was still a pretty solid schedule. And I think if you look at how last season played out in the second half, this was a team that really did well, and they lost Matt Howard, which is a really important piece to lose. But Max Rothschild came in and has done a bang-up job in the front court, and I think the team has been doing really, really well in the non-conference. I was a little concerned after the game against Toledo, a team that plays similar style to Princeton, and Penn lost at home. And they lost late. They kind of gave up a lead late, which seemed to be their MO against Princeton the last few years, is to kind of falter down the stretch. And I know Steve Donahue over the last few years has said that's a real make or break moment for a team to see where they are in the last few minutes. And so I expected it to be close as the game went on and Princeton started chipping away at that lead. I, along with a lot of Penn fans, were saying, here we go again. But this team showed a lot of maturity, and they really held on, and A.J. Broder hit that nice baby hook down low late in the game to kind of stem the tide, and they held on for the win, and it was a great game for both teams, and you know, again, for Penn, a fantastic start to the season.
Rob Brown, columnist on Ivy Hoops Online, joining us here on Inside Ivy Hoops podcast. Brett Franklin and Jill Glessner with you. Staying on the men's side, Rob, what do you make of the Columbia Lions? I know the overall record doesn't look appealing, but again, you look at the opponents, they've played a tough schedule, and they've got Princeton on Friday night, and then they've got Penn on Saturday night at the Palestra. Jim Engel's second season with the Lions. Where do you see Columbia here in this first weekend, and can they get a split, or do you think it's going to be tough cooking on both nights?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think your point well taken. Their record 3-10, but they I think they had 10 of the 10 losses, 7 came less than 10 points, and they played really well against Villanova, Penn State, BC. They certainly held their own against Connecticut. Should have won that game, actually. So this is a good team, and when you have Mike Smith, who's super explosive in the backcourt, you know, you always have a chance. A good sign for Columbia is that Kyle Castlin is back, a former, he was a major part to the offense. Losing him has been tough. I think what's difficult is Nate Hickman, who was really good in the non-conference schedule last year, has kind of gone down a little bit in the last, I guess, over the last 12 months, if you will. So it makes it a tall order for Columbia. They certainly can put points on the board. They can certainly run if a team wants to do that. But they do, I guess the problem is they are having some problems on the defensive side. They're letting up a lot of points. They're really falling late. They do a really nice job of getting out to leads, but in the second half they kind of wear down. And I'm not surprised, because Mike Smith takes a lot of shots for that team, and he's one of those people that falls into a natural habit that as the game progresses and his usage rate goes up, his efficiency declines. So if they can get Kyle Castlin back and he can get healthy and he can start taking the load off, that would be a help. And if Nate Hickman can go back to his previous shooting percentage, which I think is 11 points higher from three than it is this year, if they can get those two guys back, they can kind of take some of the stress off of Mike Smith, and they can, you know, have a better chance. But again, playing against Princeton, a very disciplined team, that's going to be a tall order for Columbia. And I think heading into Penn, again, you're meeting a team that's very confident, playing very well, especially at the Palestra. Columbia and Cornell both have had trouble playing those two games. I mean, if you want to go back decades, certainly you could go there. But over the last couple of years, even when Columbia was at, you know, in the top three of the conference, they still struggled going to those two games. So I don't have a lot of confidence for those two teams this weekend, but you never know. If Penn, I think Princeton's got a lot to prove after last week. I think they're probably upset with how things played out, and I think they're going to, in a way, take it out on Columbia and Cornell. But Penn, you know, again, it's always a maturation process, and they had this big win. Will there be a letdown against Cornell and Columbia? That's the thing I'm kind of looking for as the weekend heads together.
Okay, Rob, now we're going to shift to the women's side, and we just had Meg Griffith, the head coach for Columbia women's basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts on, you know, the top tier of the Ivy League? Do you think it's going to be, you know, the usual HYP? You know, do you see any teams creeping into that four spot to get to the Palestra?
Boy. You know, I was really, I mean, I've been impressed with Princeton the entire season, and I think last Saturday's game at Penn, you know, was just icing on the cake for the way the first couple months have gone. They are confident. They always have. I mean, Bella Allery is just phenomenal.
She helps. Yeah.
I mean, it's just mind-boggling. 8 blocks. I mean, she just dominated in the second half. It was like an adult playing with kids. But after a while, it was unbelievable. And Carly Littlefield was just excellent. I mean, she scored late, but she hounded Anna Ross, and Anna Ross is really good. But Carly Littlefield made her work for every point, and she was just exhausted. It looked like 3/4 of the way through that game. So I think Princeton. I've heard people say that you don't know who's going to come in first, but honestly, right now I think unless there's some major injury that happens to Princeton, they look really strong. Brown is amazing. I mean, they're 12-1. I think it's the best record they've had after 13 games in program history. Offensively, they are just a juggernaut. I think they've scored 100 points twice, 90 at least once or twice. Biggest problem for Brown is the loss of Taylor Will for the season. She was, I think, the fourth leading scorer in the Ivies, and then got injured a couple games ago against BU. That's a major hit. I see that they've put Mary Butler in her place, and so they've kind of traded a little offense for defense. I don't know how that's going to play out. Obviously, Coach Bain knows the team a lot better than we do, but it'll be interesting to see. I'm kind of looking forward to seeing how McKenna Dale, a first year, takes over. She's kind of in the mold of Taylor Will, but obviously inexperienced. But if she can start producing like she did against Johnson and Wales, well, then maybe they can adjust this. You'll go back to their more offensive-minded team. But they have such confidence. I saw them the second half of last season. I saw them play Penn in the semifinal at the Palestra. And watching them the first couple months this year, that is a team that is just on fire. They're playing together. They're confident. Their defense, which was a problem last year, has gotten a lot better this year. Still has a ways to go, but they've gotten really, really good. So I think they're a lock for the tournament also, even with the injury. Penn, I'm assuming, is going to be there. I don't feel like they've really gelled yet. I know they've only played 11 games, which is a lot less than the rest of the conference. But they just don't look in sync. They have a lot of great pieces, but they're not putting it all together. Lauren Whitlatch is excellent from three. Michelle McKetty, excellent down low. Alea Parker is just phenomenal, especially that first half against Princeton. Anna Ross is an experienced, dynamic guard. But I just don't see that they're playing together as a team, and that's really tough. The only time they've really kind of got it together was right before the conference schedule, where they played three teams, which I think were a combined 6-31. So it's no surprise that they were able to dominate those three opponents. So I'm kind of hoping, I guess as a Penn guy, I'm kind of hoping that they take advantage of this week with Cornell and Columbia, which are the two teams probably at the lower end of the conference, to try and get their confidence back. And in terms of that fourth, sorry to get to your question, very late, but I think Dartmouth has been phenomenal. I mean, you guys see it on a routine basis, but they are just playing so well. Cy Whippold is just... it's just great to watch her. It's always great to see someone, in a way for someone down south like me, not really following the Dartmouth program, but to somebody who was like maybe even third string last year, get the starting role and really take advantage of it is just a pleasure to watch as an Ivy fan. The team's shooting well. They're playing defense well. I mean, they did a nice job against Harvard. So I see that I think Harvard, Yale, and Dartmouth are probably going to compete for that fourth spot. I think Harvard beat LaSalle yesterday, and in the pregame, Kathy Delaney Smith said that the team is having a consistency problem, and I'd have to agree with that. So if they can get things together, if Katie Benson can start, getting into the flow of the offense a little bit better, Taylor Rooks seems to be a very consistent player, but nobody else has really gotten there. They're experienced, they're talented, so they would probably be the favorite for that fourth spot. But boy, if Dartmouth can sneak a win over there on the 20th, that would be really huge. And with Yale, I think tomorrow's going to be a big game tomorrow afternoon against Brown. They beat them, I think, by 22 last year. And Yale's one of those sneaky teams. They beat up on Penn when they showed up last year for their only loss in conference play. If they can do what they do best, if they can really, really hound you on defense, if they can get those steals, get those turnovers, if they can really frustrate you, that's excellent. I know Coach Guth is a three-or-key kind of person. If But unfortunately, they're not a great three-point shooting team. If they get hot from three, then they could take down anybody from the league.
Rob Brown, before we let you go here, looking at both the men's and the women's side, your personal favorite game of the week that you're really going to be keying an eye on this weekend?
I'd have to say, you know, I do think the Brown-Yale women's game, I think that's going to be really telling.
Yeah. Which is at noon.
That's at noon, exactly. Yes. So if you want to sneak time off of work, absolutely. Go to the Ivy League Network and cheat a little bit at work.
We won't tell. Your secret is safe with us here.
Okay,
so.
That's great.
Yeah,
excellent.
Absolutely. Well, you revealed to us you're a Penn guy, so I feel like the trust factor, it's already there, Rob. So great start here on your debut on the podcast. But we appreciate your time, sir. Enjoy the games this weekend.
Thank you so much, and it's always a pleasure listening to the two of you broadcast games.
Well, thank you, Rob. We appreciate that. And fans can, again, keep an eye out for your columns on Ivy Hoops Online, and we'll talk to you again real soon, Rob.
Thanks. Take care.
Well, that's going to do it here for another edition of Inside Ivy Hoops, episode number 2 of the podcast, signed, sealed, delivered. Jill, it was fun as always. Looking forward to show number 3 next week. Enjoy the games this week.
Thanks for having me, Brett.
All right. That's going to do it for us. Big thanks to Meg Griffith, Mike Martin, Rob Brown. We'll talk to you next time on Inside Ivy Hoops. See you.